for the conceited regarding the thing, but I have learned a good lesson, you know. I'm sure I've been taken advantage of because I'm a brand new chairperson, so it was a way of welcoming me to this world. So next time I'm not going to accept just to change our things just like that. Okay, we have got only two items on the agenda, and I'm sure we will go through them quickly. The first one is the consideration and adoption of outstanding minutes and reports, and then we are going to have a short presentation by Honorable Go on the accommodation of persons with disabilities in Asia. When he was giving me feedback on the trip that he undertook last week, I thought, because we are battling with the issue of representativity of people with disabilities in the public service, it would be good for us to learn from other countries. So please, I did this on my own, but I should think we will benefit as a committee. So before we start with our first item, I would like to just mention the apologies that we have received. We have an apology from Honorable Maloney, an apology from Honorable P. Treze, an apology from Honorable Mutembu, Honorable Nongwanyana, Honorable Zake, Honorable Sekhobela. Some of them we have not seen in the committee. Honorable Mashangwali and Honorable Simon. So we have no option but to accept this apology. Right, shall we then move to the minutes? Thank you,
Honorable. I think I mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again now. Just to double check for that. I mean, this month, well, 4th of June. We can't do anything about the government in June, especially about the government. I mean, I'm just taking 65 years of SEO 66. So my brain is getting smaller.
The minutes of the 4th of June. Honorable Kakan?
I've a suggestion check to me. If I look at the number of these copies, they are quite a lot. So the question that comes to my mind is, should we really go through these minutes? Or because of the duration that they've taken, why wouldn't we accept them?
understand you well, you are suggesting that instead of going through them one by one,
yes.
We just
yes.
Maybe let me just make sure that we all have the same set. Okay, we have minutes of the 4th of June.
Yes.
And then the 11th of June.
Yes.
And then the 18th of June.
Yes.
And then the 25th of June.
Yes.
And then the 13th of August. 13th of August.
Yes.
We have it.
Yes.
And then the 20th of August.
Yes.
The 25th of September.
Yes.
The 24th of October.
Yes.
The 14th of November.
Yes.
And that's it. Can I get someone to move for the adoption of the minutes?
Change, before we come there, I don't want to interrupt you. Honestly, but Mr. Baloy, the Honorable Baloy, was chairperson here. Hasn't he signed this? This minute? I'm just asking.
Yes, definitely he is going to sign it.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's important that we adopt it. Honorable Katai?
I move.
Thank you, Honorable Katani, and any second that, Honorable Mini, thank you. Right, let's now move to the report. We have firstly the report on the Public Service Commission's fourth consolidated monitoring and evaluation report of 2007. Okay? We did discuss this, and we have brought it back because we could not adopt it at that time because at our meeting we were coining the recommendations. So I would therefore, we have discussed the recommendations as well because that's a matter of including it in the report. And I would therefore like to also request someone to move for the adoption of this and also, okay, can we first adopt honorable you? Honorable Eunice has moved, any second now, Honorable Buklari. Thank you very much. I just want to bring this to the attention of our community secretary. We have made recommendations which limit us to certain days today. So I would like to request her to make follow-up. We are expecting quite a number of reports by the end of March 2009, so we need to be proactive and take the initiative to make sure that everybody is supposed to report that so on time. Right, shall we then move to the next report, which is on the state of the public service report of 2008. This report we have also discussed as a committee. And in the previous minutes regarding this, we agreed that there was a round table that was arranged by the Public Service Commission where the report was going to be deliberated. And we did not make any recommendations because we had agreed that we'd all attend the round table. But unfortunately, the round table took place when we were at our constituency. But it did take place, and I have requested the Secretary to also distribute a copy of the discussion. I hope we all have it. The discussions of the round table. So I've gone through the round table discussion document and from that have, together with our secretary, prepared the recommendations there at the end. Like on the last page 9, we have got the two recommendations which have not been discussed by this committee. And one is that department identified in the Public Service Commission's report should implement recommendations made by the Public Service Commission in the state of the Public Service Report 2007. And progress of the implementation of this recommendation should be reported to Parliament by June 2009 in writing. And the second one is the Public Service Commission should report to the committee the success of the implementation of the recommendations made in the state of the Public Service Report in writing to Parliament by June 2009. Obviously, this will have to be taken up by the new committee because I think this will take place after the election. hopefully. And those are the two recommendations which I thought are the most reasonable, because the Public Service Commission has made very clear recommendations in that report. It is only for the department to implement and for the Public Service Commission to monitor the implementation. So I think it would be proper that those departments, we will put it in writing, requesting them to report to us and also the Public Service Commission. I don't know whether that is acceptable to members. Any comments?
Accepted.
Shall we then adopt this report? Mm. Any mover? Mm. Honorable Rukunari. Seconder? Honorable Kaka. Thank you. Right. Let's then move to the presentation. Next item on the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Give me just a few seconds to allow that.
Raise our food. You know, it's good to watch a movie as you know, with popcorn and coke.
Madam Chair, Mr. Smith, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to do the presentation. Perhaps I should just give a bit of an explanation of what this is about. I was in Shanghai, China, just over a week ago, to promote tourism into South Africa, in particular disabled tourism into South Africa. One of the objectives that we're trying to achieve from the disabled community is by showing that there's a business case for disability, that we can start promoting disabled inclusion. And if we can show to the hotel groups, the B&Bs, the transport operators, etc., that you can get money out of the disabled community, they're going to start making their venues accessible, their transport accessible, and the activities accessible. The idea is that the Chinese market is huge, everyone knows about that, and we're hoping to tap into the Chinese market to bring them out to South Africa. And I'll go to some of the figures that are in the presentation. Just to start off, just imagine if you could not hear, if you could not see, if you could not walk. I can't walk, but does that mean that myself or anyone else simply stay at home and never experience anything again? There are 83 million people with disabilities in China. Well, let's double our population here in South Africa. Just to give you an idea of the disabled population here in South Africa, we have approximately 6 to 7 million people with disabilities, depending on your definition of disability. We form a significant section of the population. In America, it's the single largest minority group in America. Just some ideas on the expenditure. The American disabled market spent just over $250 million in international travel last year. So there's a huge market, and 72% of the disabled American market travels internationally. So there's a huge potential. It's time to give people with disabilities. Obviously, this was given as a presentation in China, and it was aimed at the 83 million disabled people in China. Time to give them a second chance to see, to explore, to experience, to hear the heartbeats of Africa. A background enabled online is the organization that's been set up in South Africa to promote disabled tourism. It's working in conjunction with DPSA and Disabled People of South Africa. They've got a lot of experience and to bring disabled people into South Africa. The interesting thing about the Chinese disabled market, or the tourism market in particular, is that they're worse travellers than the Americans. That they like to come in, see everything quickly, and get out. The research that has been done is that the Chinese market likes to see 5 countries in 5 days or in 1 week. They come in and go out as quickly as possible. And some of the things that the disabled market can see in South Africa is wine tasting, safaris, whale watching. Believe it or not, there are a couple of operators in Hermanus that can put wheelchairs on to accommodate deaf people and blind people. Hunting is a particular big thing, particularly out of the American market. The disabled disability rights movement in America was started primarily out of war veterans returning from Vietnam and Korea. So they trigger happy and they like to shoot things. So it's one of the things that they look at. Fishing is quite a big thing as well. Diving, the scuba diving can be done. And going up the Table Mountain. The big thing that we found in China, the people are interested to see how people with disabilities could be shot down. And it can be done. People getting into wheelchair, obviously don't go down in their wheelchair, but people that are deaf and blind as well are also able to experience shark diving. The idea is that Enabled Online, in conjunction with DPSA, would make their dreams come true. It's a wonderful photograph of a person with a disability experiencing life. A little bit about Enabled Online. It's got a 50% disabled ownership. Therefore, because of the personal experience of disability, the people from Enabled Online understand what disabled people's needs are. Obviously focusing on the disabled market in China, Enabled Online is able to give Chinese interpreters as well. All of the equipment is disabled friendly. There you've got an example of a safari vehicle, which is, that one is actually in Botswana, which runs out of Cape Town. People in wheelchairs can get in and out of vehicles. And obviously the accommodation and tours are accessible as well. One of the little known facts about disabled tourism is that the fastest growing market in tourism, over and above the cruise line industry, over and above the volunteer organisations as well that are getting into to tourism. And just a quick statistic out of the American market. As I said, 72% of the American disabled market travels, and they spend close to $250 million a year on international travel. 80% of that market, or 80% of that $250 million, travel to exotic locations. At the moment, they're traveling to Asia and Australia, but there's a huge potential to bring that market into South Africa. Just some other interesting facts. The Intercontinental Group in Europe, when they embrace disability, they increase their revenue by 12%. So there's a huge business case for disability. So it's not a charity thing, that you can actually make money out of it. And that's what we're trying to drive here in South Africa. One of the interesting things that came out of the tourism in Java and in China was that the South African tour operators didn't realize that there was a business case for disability. And I've been approached to give presentations to a lot of the organizations, the leading hotel groups, to say, instead of having 1 or 2% of your hotel rooms accessible, why not make 100% of your rooms accessible? Obviously, the business case, how can you say no to a possible market of 60 million disabled travelers? And say yes to disabled travel and join forces with Enabled Online and DPSA. Just some interesting facts about disabled tourism in South Africa. Obviously driven through the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. The first country in Africa to introduce disability grading for the tourism industry. You can get extra stars, extra kudos, extra points on your grading system if you are disabled accessible, disabled friendly as well. And the way it's used is through the Universal Accessibility Grading Scheme. It encourages the tourism sector to comply with international requirements for those who are physically impaired. Not only physically impaired, but visually and hearing and sensory and mentally impaired as well. It's one of the objectives as well of the Tourism Grading Council to create employment for people with disabilities to go out and start auditing these facilities, these hotels, B&Bs, shopping centres, attractions such as Robben Island, Cape Point and so on. A little bit about disabled people who are partners in the initiative. Everyone knows, I'm sure, disabled people in South Africa represent people with disabilities in South Africa. It's named the South African Federation of the Disabled. That's just the South African one. A member of the Pan-African Federation of the Disabled, the African continent. and member of Disabled People International. It represents more than 300 member organisations in South Africa. Obviously, it's a civil rights organisation fighting for and promoting human and disability rights. It's been the primary driver both within South Africa and internationally for the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Disabled People. I'm sure people are aware of the UN rights of UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. It's a groundbreaking convention, and it binds the signatories to that convention to inclusion of people with disabilities and mainstreaming people with disabilities. South Africa is a signatory to it, as well as to the extra addendum to that right. South Africa is a world leader in terms of that. We've committed ourselves to huge goals in terms of putting employment to people with disabilities, education, social rights, and things like that. So it's a major milestone and a feather in the cap for South Africa. But enough about Enabled Online and EPSA. There is just some visual that we can put together. just a really interesting thing that there were two pictures of a Chinese lady in that presentation. She's actually the winner of the Chinese Idol competition. And she was born in South Africa and exported to South Africa and went to China, and she's playing at the moment. So just an interesting fact. A lot of interest from the Chinese audience. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for another call. Ideas as we are wrestling with this issue, making sure that our people with disabilities are taken on board. Any questions, any comments, Honorable Lewis, and then Honorable Rupert?
Just a comment here. You know, since I've been a member of council, I think there should be a standard regulation in this country which says all buildings, not only government buildings, all buildings must be disabled friendly. All buildings, it should be a standard regulation.
Thank you. I think it's a real eye opener because very often, you know, we completely neglect this market. And one shouldn't just be relegated to the wheelchair and confined to one space. You're able to experience. You're bringing Africa to people and trying to take Africa to people. One of the problems, I think it's also with flights. If you look at FAA, the passenger assisted aided unit, I know one of our colleagues, Mr. the Honorable Ganide, at times on a different flight, they actually have to take him in a catering truck, into a flight because the passenger assisted aided unit doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It all has to do with the flights, and even our hotels, they aim so much at families, and they have so much of specials, but it's never aimed at the disabled ones. We never target them, even the lodges, the B&Bs, and we need to start somewhere, and I think it's excellent what you're doing, because the market has been, the people with disabilities have been marginalized. Mm. Being a handicapped, so often you have to keep fighting for your rights, even having a holiday, you have to, it's like a cry for help, and so I think it's excellent what you're doing, and if we could support you in any which way, you have our support.
Yep.
Thank you very much for those very kind words. And one more thank you very much, Honorable Ko. What a way of ending the year.
Yeah,
it will keep us thinking. And for me personally, this has taught me one thing, two things. The one is that, it stimulates our creativity in as far as accommodating people with disabilities are concerned. And secondly, it has deepened the expression of unconditional love. That, you love me and accept me for who I am, not for what I'm able to do and not able to do. Thank you once more. On that note then, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our meeting, and I would like...
Very sure.
Yes, I didn't want to bore you after what we had last night. And please let's go, we will only meet in the new year at this committee. So I would like to take this opportunity to wish you peaceful and enjoyable festive season. Please don't do anything that I would do. Please, like Honorable Trader indicated yesterday, last night, it's important that we should spend time with our family. We need those people right now as politicians. We are worried as to whether we will be accommodated in the lists that are coming, whether we'll be here next year or not. Irrespective of what will happen, we'll always need those people at home. So it is important that we give them the necessary recognition and spend quality time with them. All of the best until we meet next time.
Yeah.
Thank you.